Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. One of the strangest and most important roads in Oregon's history is flooded almost every day. It has been since it was first built. Its origins are mysterious, and for a good half century, the only traffic it's seen is people on foot. But a century ago, this roadbed was part of Exhibit A in Governor Oswald West's plan to save Oregon beaches by declaring them state highways. The road is a very short, one-lane stretch cut and blasted into the rocky headland at Hug Point, just south of Cannon Beach. It's actually just a small part of the old road from Arch Cape to Cannon Beach. In fact, the road is the beach. Drivers today do plenty of griping about the stretch of Highway 101 that covers that part of the coast. Thing is, they don't know how good they've had it since 101 was finished in the late 1930s. Before that, travelers driving down the coast had to use the beach, and there was one particular spot that everyone dreaded, Hug Point. Hug Point got its name because travelers wanting to get from Cannon Beach south to Arch Cape had to wait for low tide and then hug the point to get past it. It's a steep, rugged ridge of the coast range that thrusts right out into the surf to its very edge. Hug Point was a regular feature on the stagecoach run up and down the beach. Into the sea the coach would plunge and around the cape it would go. Nerve-wracking, yes, but any other way around the point would have involved a long inland detour and a big elevation gain and a lot of switchbacking and bushwhacking. Hug Point might have been an inconvenience for stagecoaches, but when automobiles started appearing, it must have been a real problem. It takes a lot less water to stop a car than a stagecoach, and it's much easier to get one stuck in beach sand, and the stakes are a little bit higher, too. Assuming your stagecoach doesn't get pulled out to sea once the waters recede, you can pretty much pull it back off the beach and hose it off, and you're back in business. But you submerge a car in salt water, and you might as well just recycle it. So someone, I still haven't been able to figure out for sure who or when, someone blasted and chipped a roadbed out of the headland. How did that road come to be? I'd love to know. Several sources claim it dates to 1920, when a man from Arch Cape bought a brand new Maxwell motor car and tried to drive it home. It reportedly got stuck in the surf while driving around the point, and the incoming tide submerged it, and the man was so angry that he raised subscriptions from his neighbors and bought dynamite and blasted out the roadbed. That's what the story says. The problem is, I don't believe it. I have a photo, actually, of a horse and wagon team negotiating that roadbed that dates from about 1910, and Ralph Friedman actually talked to a stagecoach driver who routinely drove the road well before 1920. So, who actually did the blasting and chipping? The Postal Service? The stagecoach line? Local residents? And when? Several hours of diligent scrounging through the catalog at Oregon State University's Valley Library have turned up absolutely nothing for me. Whoever did it clearly didn't think it was important enough to mention. If you know, I'd love to hear from you. In any case, it worked. Stagecoaches, wagons, and now automobiles could finally cross Hug Point at low tide without getting pickled in corrosive salt water. And cross it they did, regularly. After all, there was no alternative. Meanwhile, the Oregon public was getting increasingly agitated about the beaches. They were being sold off. The state legislature was diligently selling them at bargain prices to legislators' friends and associates, and the specter of no trespassing signs in the sand was looming. In response to this, among other issues, voters elected Oswald West as governor. His platform was largely a promise to save the beaches. Once in office, he knew what he had to do, but how could he do it? Well, most Oregonians know how he did it, by getting the beaches declared state highways. But what most folks don't realize is that West had to get that action approved by a hostile legislature that really wanted to keep playing Santa Claus with beachfront property. The only reason West was actually able to get away with this was because he was right. In many places, the beaches really were highways, and there were no alternative routes. That fact made all the difference. For 1910's legislators, it was one thing to vote to sell off a soft asset like a recreational area, But voting to unload a state highway on which voters depended for contact with the outside world, that was another matter. So West got his bill, and we got our beaches. And a little over 20 years later, the Arch Cape residents got a real highway, the Roosevelt Military Highway, Highway 101, and the Hug Point Road fell into disuse. Today it's a state park, and at low tide beachgoers can stroll from one end to the other of the only remaining evidence of the road that saved Oregon's public beaches. This story was first published on November 28th of 2010 under the headline, Did This Soggy, Scary Road Save Oregon's Public Beaches? Key sources included works by Ralph Friedman, William Sullivan, and the Oregon Historical Society. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you're listening to is one of roughly 300 newspaper columns published between 2008 and today. Since 2008, Offbeat Oregon has grown to include a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a fleet of Pinterest boards, a ton of great historic photos, and a bunch of other stuff that you can explore by mousing over the little row of square badges that you can find at the top of our hub page, which is at offbeatoregon.com. Visuals that go with today's show will also be found at offbeatoregon.com. You'll also find full citations to the sources for all of the stories there. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. See offbeatoregon.com/CC for the deets. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Email me, finn@offbeatoregon.com, or ping me on Twitter @offbeatoregon. And also, if you're going to be in town near Oregon State University with time for a cup of coffee, do let me know. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.